under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. And then Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And then in the New Living Translation, it says it this way, every one must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. And so our premise of this lesson is simply this, that God is a God of authority. He is a God of order. He has set things in motion. He said that that Christ was the head of the church and that man was the head of his wife, and that we must have our children in subjection. And so it is a process of authority and submission. And it's a powerful process because it is a process that is opposed to our fleshly nature, but it is also a process that if we will give ourselves to submission to God's word, then there is a protection and there is a blessing and there is a power that comes with that that cannot come any other way. And where we left off last week was this: God and His authority are inseparable. You cannot separate God and authority. They go together. We cannot separate our relationship with God and separate that from our faithfulness or our commitment to the church. We cannot separate our relationship with God to our submission to authority or to God's word. They go together. You cannot have one without the other. We live in a world today that wants to say, I love Jesus, but doesn't want to obey what Jesus says to do. They want to say, I have a relationship with Jesus, but you know, if you really have a relationship, that relationship governs every other thing in your life. And so when you give yourself to a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you love Him, then you must love what He loves. And if you love Him, then you will love the Word, you will love truth, you will love people, you will love holiness, you will love doctrine, you will love all that. You cannot say you have a relationship with Jesus and not walk in obedience. Amen. Okay, well, let me prove that to you, because you can't separate God from His authority. The Bible says that if you do not obey Him, if you do not obey the Word of God, if you do not take chastening or chastening, if you do not take the punishment or the correction of the Word, then you are not sons or daughters, then you are illegitimate. You do not have access to His authority, to His name, to His process of authority in this world. But when we submit ourselves, then we have access to His power, His protection, His blessing. Amen. When you get a chance, you need to read Deuteronomy 28:1. It is so powerful. Through 1 through 14. It talks about all the blessings that come with submitting to the covenant, to His process, to walking in His way. Then He will bless you in the city, in the field. He will bless you when you lay down, when you get up. Every way of your life will be blessed. But there is a huge little word in there, and it is if. If. Amen. That's a powerful word in Scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Amen? There's that word that is conditional in Scripture. And so we cannot separate God and his authority. They are inseparable. Daniel 2 and 21 says this, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." This is speaking of God. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. And so in our life today, we as American citizens, we have a responsibility to vote, and I think we should. I think we should prayerfully vote, okay? We as a church, we do not espouse any political party or any political candidate, but we believe that you should vote. But you should also pray and trust God, because when it's all said and done and the dust settles, whether it's your person or your or not your person, whether it's your party or not your party, God is in control. Amen. God sets up kings and he brings down kings. And he uses people for his purpose, whether we like it or not. We see that in the life of Pharaoh. Pharaoh ruled over the people. The Bible says that there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. They did not understand the contribution that Joseph and the children of Israel made to Egypt. And so he began to oppress them. And the reason he oppressed them is because God was getting them ready to leave Egypt. He waxed worse and worse, because as long as they were comfortable in Egypt, they would never have wanted to leave. But the heat was turned up and the work was harder and everything began to press down on them. And the Bible says that they began to cry out, and God heard their cry, and God called Moses to come and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God used Pharaoh. You don't believe me, just read Scripture, okay? Moses shows up and says, "Hey, you better let my people go." Pharaoh says, "No, I'm not going to." He says, "Okay, well, I'll show you." And so he begins to pronounce these plagues upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And one by one, they would come, and Pharaoh would relent and say, "Hey, Moses, you got to give us some relief. I'll let you go." And then the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Amen. Pharaoh didn't know he was being used by God, but he was. Now, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? It's because he wanted to reveal himself. These were people that had been in captivity, had been in Egypt for 400 years. They had only heard stories of Abraham. They had only heard stories of Noah. They had only heard stories of God's miraculous power. And now God was using Pharaoh, Egypt, and the plagues to reveal himself, not only to Egypt and Pharaoh, but he was revealing himself to Israel. He was letting them know, "Hey, I'm God. I'm God of the elements. I'm God of the bugs. I'm God of the frogs. I'm God of the water. I'm God of the moon. I'm God of everything." And so he was letting them know step by step. And even when he finally did let them go, the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart again. And he said, "I'm going to pursue after them and I'm going to bring them back." That wasn't Pharaoh's idea. That was God's idea. Because God was taking Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt right to the place where they could be destroyed. And of course, as I mentioned last week, these crazy Egyptians saw God part the Red Sea, the children of Israel walk across on dry land, get on the other side, and they thought it was a good idea. "Hey, let's go down in there too." Now, that's not logical. If you're trying to chase somebody and God opens up the sea and dries it out and lets them walk across on dry land, you know, your first thought is, "I better leave them alone." Right? I thought I had them right where I wanted them, but God made a way for them to go through the Red Sea on dry land by themselves. And so here they are. It's only logical that, "Hey, I better head back to Egypt. I'm out of here." But no, God used Pharaoh, made him tell the army to pursue, and of course they were destroyed in the Red Sea. You cannot fight against God's authority. God is in control. Everything that God wants to happen in this world is going to happen. Amen. His kingdom, the Bible says, to his government, there shall be no end. The increase of it, there shall be no end. I want you to know that God is in control. When it's all said and done, the purpose of God is going to be done completely without one thing missing.
That's right. That's right.
Okay? It is predestined for victory. The church is going to be victorious. God is going to be worshiped. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you can say that God doesn't exist. You can say that I'm not going to obey. You can say whatever you want to say. But in the end, your knee's going to bow. In the end, your tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I'd rather do it now than to be made to do it then. Amen. God's purpose is predestined. It is going to happen. He brings up who he wants up. He takes down who he wants down. He puts people in place to do his will. The only variable in the equation is what side of the argument will I be on? Because you're a free agent. You have free will. You get to choose. I want to be blessed or I want to be cursed. I want to be on God's side or I want to do my own thing, which is really not your own thing. It's really the enemy's own thing. We think we're in charge, but we're not. Remember, I taught a couple weeks ago, it's the mirage of freedom. It doesn't really exist except in submission to God. Amen. 1 John 3 and 4, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. Many sins are obvious and outward, but it is the subtle attributes of pride and self-centeredness that are the root of sin. Amen. It is the subtle sin of pride and willfulness. We must understand that this is a process of every day. Paul said, I die daily. We have got to drag this old man to a cross every day and say, man, you are not in charge, but my will, my flesh is going to be under the control of God Almighty. I am submitting myself to the authority of God, and I am going to be under his cover, and you are not going to rule me. Your appetites are not going to control me. I am in charge. That's why we have a weekly regimen of prayer, a daily regimen of prayer, and a weekly regimen of fasting. What is fasting about? It's not about twisting God's arm. It's not about getting him to do anything or coercing him, but it is simply getting our flesh under control and saying, hey, you are not in charge. Amen. I want to be under God's cover. I want to be under the will of God, the protection of God. I want the blessing of God on my life, on my marriage, on my children, on my home, on my finances, everything. I want the will of God. And the only way I can be in the will of God is to be completely and totally submitted to him, to his word, and to his authority. Amen. Amen. We must love God, his will, and his truth more than anything or anyone. Let me say that again. We must love God, his will, and his truth more than anything or anyone. We cannot allow willfulness to control us. Amen. Just because you don't think it's right doesn't mean it's not right. Truth is truth, whether you like it or not. Amen. Truth is truth, whether I like it or not. God is God whether you say he's God or not. You can go around saying there's no God all you want to, but there's still a God. You can say it's not true all you want to, but when it's all said and done, truth is truth, and it doesn't change because it's truth. Amen. It doesn't matter what I think about it. If the Word of God says it, then I line up to it. Amen. As I preached a couple of weeks ago, understanding comes with obedience. You don't have to understand everything the Word of God says or why it says it, but when you walk in obedience to it, I guarantee you it will not be long until God will open your understanding that you will understand what God is meaning and doing by his Word. Amen. I had no way of understanding as a 11-year-old boy what it meant to repent and what that would do for me. But when I obey the Scripture, I realize, wow, this is a transformative act. This is something that is beyond just words of saying, I'm sorry and forgive me. But there was a powerful move of God that happened in my heart, in my mind, in my soul when I repented. The understanding came with obedience. I had no understanding how a tank of water could transform my life until I obeyed the Word of God when it said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. But when I obeyed the Scripture and I obeyed the preaching and I submitted unto that and I went down in the waters of baptism and I came up in Jesus' name, then I understood. Oh, everything's clean. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I had no way of understanding the power of God coming into my life and filling me with his Spirit and me speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I had no way of understanding that until I walked in obedience and I yielded myself to God and he gloriously filled me on February 27th, 1982, he gloriously filled me with the power of the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance as an 11-year-old boy. How could I understand? How could I comprehend the God that created everything coming inside of me? But all understanding came with obedience. When I fully submitted myself, when I fully yielded myself, the understanding came. It doesn't really make sense to the logical mind, the freedom and the power that comes with living a holy life. It doesn't make logical sense. Why is God so concerned about the outside? But oh, when you walk in it and you obey it, whether you understand it or not, I guarantee you that God will begin to open up. And not only will you understand it better, but you will feel the joy of living a holy, beautiful, clean life. Amen. It happens on the inside and it reflects outwardly in everything we do. The way we dress, the way we act. You know, holiness is really, it's about a spirit of submission. Willfulness wants to do its own thing. Willfulness wants to be its own person. But all holiness says, whatever you say, Lord, just show me. I don't have to understand it all. If you just show me in Scripture, I'm going to line up to it. And oh, when I line up to it, there is a beauty and a contentment and a power that comes. There is an understanding that comes when I begin to walk in obedience. Amen. I want to live under the authority of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to have pleasure in holiness, not in unrighteousness. Because there's consequences that come to obedience. There's blessing that comes. There's consequences that come with disobedience. There's blessings that come with obedience. Amen. If I will, he will bless. If I will walk in his way, then he will bless me in the city. He will bless me in the field. He will bless me when I get up. He'll bless me when I lay down. He will bless and multiply everything my hand touches. But if I do not, then there's consequences that come with that. Genesis 4 and 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The New Living Translation says it this way, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Amen. I want to submit myself. You know, we want to talk about resisting the devil and he will flee from us. We want to say greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Oh, we want to shout about that. But that first scripture says this, submit yourself therefore unto God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have too many people trying to resist the devil without submitting to God. Come on now. It's impossible. It's impossible because you do not have power over the enemy unless you are submitted to the power that is within you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But he is under no obligation to hold back the enemy. He is under no obligation to fight for you. He is under no obligation to protect you unless you are submitted. Amen. We have military men and women in here. If you refuse to follow the order of your superior, then not only do you thwart their authority in your life, but you also remove your authority from those that are under you. But as long as you're in the line of authority in military, then your authority goes all the way up to the commander-in-chief. It flows down because one order goes to another order and another order goes to another order. And as long as you're doing what you're told, then the weight of the whole government system is behind you. But the moment you remove yourself from that authority, then you're on your own. I don't know about you, but I've dealt with the devil enough to know I don't want to be on my own. Amen. I don't want to be on my own. I want God to fight for me. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's a safeguard in obedience. Amen. I want to sow to the Spirit. I want to submit myself to the Lord. Now, not only is God and authority inseparable, but faith and obedience are inseparable. Obedience is evidence of true faith. Well, we want to say, well, I believe the Lord's my personal Savior. Oh, really? Well, if he is your personal Savior and you believe in him, then you also believe this. Amen? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You cannot believe, truly believe, and not obey. If you truly believe, then you will walk in faith. And faith with works is the only way it's revealed. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. If you really believe it, then you'll walk in it. If you really, really believe Jesus is who he says he is, and the word of God is what it says it is, then you will obey it. Because you understand to disobey it is to invite punishment, is to choose a direction, not to heaven, but to hell. And so faith and obedience are inseparable. Now, God's word equates these two things, rebellion to witchcraft. Because rebellion is a willfulness that says, I don't need God. It's pride. It's the original sin. It is pride. It is saying, hey, I'm okay. I don't need you. I can do it on my own. And so we must fight against that natural feeling that is in our flesh. We must submit. Amen. Because complete submission to God's word is the key to overcoming deception. Complete submission to God's word. Because remember the scripture I read just a little while ago. Because they love not the truth. God sent them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. That's why when people discount doctrine and discount truth, and instead of just flat out backsliding, you know, you can't hardly find a backslider these days because they just look for a discount. They move from the truth to the bargain basement and where anything goes, you know, it doesn't really matter. Grace covers everything. A sloppy agape, as they call it, and everything's all right. You know, that's what they do. And so it's very difficult to find a real backslider these days. Sometimes when I find somebody that says, Pastor, I just decided I was going to backslide. I'm going to do what I want to do. I just want to hug them and say, thank you. That's awesome. I'm so glad because you're reachable, right? You know, I have a family member like that they know what's right, but they just want to live the way they want to live. I'm like, praise God, that person can be reached because I have some other family members that think they're all right and they're lost as a goose. I would lots rather deal with a real sinner that just says, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to stay there for a little while. Man, you know, that's so refreshing to find a real sinner. Praise God. It's hard to find these days. It's like a unicorn, you know, it doesn't exist. I tell you. But the problem with people when they discount themselves, they go in, they remove themselves from the obligation of obedience to Scripture, and they exchange that for a grace that covers them whatever they want to do, whatever they want to be. The problem with that is that it feels like the Lord. As I mentioned last week, T.W. Barnes said this, revelation or deception feels much like revelation. And you know why it does? Because they both come from God. A lot of people that have discounted the truth, they will say words like this, well, God has revealed to me. I don't need to do this and I don't need to do that. And you're too legalistic. God has revealed. God has set me free. Yeah, he did. He didn't set you free from the obligation, but he set you free from conviction. And he turned you over to a reprobate mind. And he allowed you to be deceived in your sin. And there's going to be a lot of people, the Bible says it, that people are going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. We healed in your name. We did this. And he's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. What happened? They were under a delusion that they were walking in obedience, but they discounted it to a point where he let them believe that they were all right. Amen. Partial obedience is not obedience. Partial, you know, sometimes you want to, well, I'm sort of doing what I said or what the Bible said. You know, you're kind of giving it lip service. But God knows the heart. God knows the heart. Willfulness is a natural process of the flesh, and submission is a beautiful process of the spirit. And so we have got to constantly check ourselves, because willfulness can pop up at any moment in our life because it's natural for us. It's natural for us. Paul said it so well in his back and forth dissertation. When I would to do good, evil is present with me. Back and forth, back and forth. He said, "When I want to do what's right, there's another war going on in my members. There's something else that is warring against me, that is trying to bring me under subjection, that's trying to put me back into this body of death. But oh, I want to be submitted to God." And so he said, "I die daily." And when he got to the end of his life, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." Amen. What was the fight? He himself said, "We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness." His fight was with his flesh and with the spirit world. He died daily. Amen. Praise God. God is so good. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in submission. Remember, submission is not agreement. In fact, submission really only kicks in when you disagree or when you don't understand. I don't know. You know, when you're a parent, you teach your kids a lot of things that they can't understand. You know, when they're real young, you say, "Don't play in the street," but they don't understand. They see this big piece of concrete out there. Man, this is awesome. We can kick the ball. We can throw the frisbee. We don't have to worry about running into trees. You know, we're out there. But we know that there's danger in the street. But they can't understand it. But obedience keeps them safe. And as they grow, then God opens their understanding, and time will open their understanding. And that's the same thing with us as we grow. So it's best when you're new to this, or maybe you need to recommit to this, you say, "Hey, God, I don't have to understand it all. But I do know this one thing. You know everything, and I don't. I don't understand why I can't do that. But if you say it, then I'm going to do it. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll submit to what you want me to submit to." And when it's all said and done, I guarantee you, it is a ironclad guarantee that if you will walk in God's way, you will be blessed. You will have a great life. Now, you'll have ups and downs, but I'd lots rather have the rain falling on my house and my foundation be on Him than the rain falling on my house and the storm raging and my life be built on me, because I'm shifting sand and He's a rock that doesn't move. Amen. So today, whether you understand it all or not, say, "I'm going to submit to it." There's something so refreshing as a Bible study teacher when the student will say, "Pastor, teacher, just tell me. You just tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. I may not understand it, but you just tell me. You show me in Scripture, and I'm going to do it." Amen. You want to be blessed of God? You want your life, your home, your family to be blessed? Just do it. Just do it. Just line up with the Word of God, whether you understand it or whether you agree with it or not. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to end a few minutes early today because we want to give Brother Childs and the Holy Ghost, not necessarily in that order, the full time that he can have. Amen. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, I ask you to bless our lesson, Lord, that it would not just fall upon our ears, but Lord, that it would fall deep into our heart and into our spirit. Lord, I want to walk in obedience, oh God. Lord, I pray your blessing upon these wonderful people, and I ask you to touch their hearts and their minds today, that we would submit ourselves unto you. And in this second hour, Lord, let our faith rise. Let our faith rise. Let our worship rise. Lord, let your spirit do its will today. Oh, we submit to it right now, and we submit to responding to your word and to your move in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Take a little break, and we'll start here in a few moments.